Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, reaction to yesterday's vote. Republican Representative-elect Ty Matthews reflects on his successful campaign for the 83rd District seat in the Ohio House. Also, Findlay City School Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton shares reaction to yesterday's unsuccessful vote on the district's income tax measure and what happens next. And also this morning, Hancock Historical Museum Director Sarah Foltz will join us to talk about what's new in history as we head into the month of November and the upcoming holiday season. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, November 6th, 2024. So the big news from last night, in case you hadn't heard yet, I want to be the first to share with you, lots of people very excited about this, Bowling Green beat Central Michigan 23-13. They are now over 500 for the year and puts them on the cusp of bowl eligibility. So big, big news from last night, in case you missed it. I know that's the one thing that everybody was talking about yesterday. Leading up to yesterday evening. That was the big story, right? That was the big one. And was there something else that happened overnight? Did I miss something? I don't know. Yes, of course. I know. Election day yesterday, the voters weighed in, and Donald Trump will be our 47th president, becoming the second individual to win two non-consecutive terms in office. And, of course, Mr. Trump won the 17 electoral votes in Ohio, also won the, remember, we were talking about how this is going to come down to the seven swing states, and Donald Trump won Georgia and North Carolina and Pennsylvania, which left Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, and Arizona, and while those, well, I guess Wisconsin's been called now, but the vote count continues in the other three, and Donald Trump's leading them all. So all seven of the battleground states that all the pundits were saying going in would hold the key to the election, all seven of them were won by or are leading, currently led by Donald Trump. Yesterday, if you remember, we were talking about what we could expect to see when the vote count started to come in. And we were saying, in such a politically fractured environment, could either party legitimately claim a mandate, depending on the way the vote broke? And I would say that the Republicans can probably come as close as anybody could in this environment to claiming a mandate. I mean, taking all seven of the battleground states, including flipping Georgia and Pennsylvania. And that's really all he needed to do, but he, you know, either won or is leading substantially in all of those swing states. And then winning the Senate, probably holding on to the House the way things are. There are still races that have yet to be called in the House, but it's a clean sweep. It's about as close to a mandate as you're going to come in 2024. Senator Sherrod Brown lost his bid for re-election to Republican Bernie Moreno. Bob Latta cruised to victory in his bid to retain the 5th District seat in the House of Representatives. No big surprise there. Democratic Congresswoman Marcy Kaptur did claim victory in her bid for re-election in the 9th Congressional District, although that race is actually still too close to call and overnight has tightened up. And so I don't think there's been a call in that race yet. At least there wasn't earlier when I was looking. And by the way, Ohio Issue 1 that would have created a Citizens Redistricting Commission was defeated as well. So it was a clean sweep for the Republicans in yesterday's election in the Buckeye State. No question. By the way, speaking of the election, it is turning out to be a dog-eat-dog race in New York City, even. We're talking about the big race in the Big Apple. It is the dog mayoral race. The race for top dog, literally. Apparently, they have this election in New York City to elect a dog mayor every year, and one owner is pulling her dog from the race, citing online threats. According to AM New York, of the two candidates, Enzo the Shih Tzu and Bertram the Pomeranian, Enzo has dropped out of the race. Enzo's owner said there were individuals who started that were backing Bertram that started making such negative and disturbing comments online about Enzo that she wanted nothing to do with the Dog Mayor platform. The founder of the Dog Mayor campaign, Stephen Calabria, says that they do not condone negativity, but they can't monitor all online activity or control what other individuals do. So now they will try and find a new challenger for Bertram, and that has caused the vote to be pushed from November 4th. They were going to hold the vote on Monday, actually, and now they will push it to Monday of next week. So they've had to actually delay that election. Big, big story there when we talk about election narratives. Big, big story that one of the dog mayor candidates has backed out of the race. So I'm here to make sure that you are completely informed with all of the important results from the election. So I don't want to skip anything. I want to make sure that we are complete in our coverage. Let's see. How about this? How about a vote that we can all agree on? And I know that that's really tough to find these days, that to find some sort of race, some sort of election, some sort of vote that everyone can universally agree on. But maybe we have found one. The Lights Before Christmas at the Toledo Zoo has been nominated in the category of Best Zoo Lights in USA Today's 2024 10 Best Reader's Choice Travel Awards. Can we all agree that we need to go and vote for the Lights Before Christmas? The official nomination calls out the zoo's display of more than a million holiday lights and over 200 illuminated animal images. And you can cast your vote at 10best, that's 10best, 10best.usatoday.com. And so can we all do that today? Just one more thing to vote for, but I think we can all agree that the Lights Before Christmas should win that that 10 best race. More details on the awards can be found at the website as well. So in our quest to find something that we can all agree on, how about let's agree on that? So a couple of other items here worth noting to get your Wednesday morning started now that the election is over and we're past Halloween. I think we can finally start to turn our attention to the holiday season, the upcoming holidays. Starbucks is preparing for the merriest time of the year with a debut of new holiday cups and the return of its seasonal menu. They recently revealed their new holiday cup designs with four iterations of hot cups and one for iced beverages. I think iced beverages are getting the short end of the shrift there. Short end of the stick. They just have one design, while the hot beverages get four cups. Anyway, they all pull from this year's theme, Merrier Together, which is, I think, very apropos, given that it is an election year. Merrier Together. The color palette, it says, sets a festive tone with shades of Starbucks green and cranberry red with fondant inspired soft pastels, according to the press release from Starbucks. We're really excited to lean into greens this year. The jade green is so vibrant and bright, and we love how it references our brand colors in a way that brings a spark of joy to our holiday cups this season. So, starting November 7th, customers will once again be able to enjoy the seasonal menu of holiday-inspired drinks and treats. So something to look forward to beginning tomorrow at Starbucks. So that's big news there. And speaking of the upcoming Thanksgiving holiday, and I want to skip ahead to Christmas and forget about Thanksgiving. This is new from HelloFresh, the meal company, HelloFresh. They are offering this year Rachel Green's infamous Thanksgiving trifle. If you are a Friends fan, you may remember the episode in season 6, the Thanksgiving episode where Rachel makes a Thanksgiving trifle, and she does it wrong. The gang ultimately realizes she made half an English trifle and half a shepherd's pie after the pages of her magazine where she got the recipes got stuck together. You may remember the episode. I don't remember this episode, but my wife is a big Friends fan, an obsessive Friends fan, and she told me all about it. So this year, HelloFresh is hearkening back to that hilarious home-cooked mess with Rachel Green's Trifle Meal Kit. It celebrates the 30th anniversary of the hit sitcom. The limited edition meal kit, which is available to order online now, includes all the ingredients to make a beef shepherd's pie and classic English trifle, along with step-by-step recipe cards, a friend's apron, and a custom trifle dish engineered with a center divider to serve the two side-by-side. So, not going to mix them together, going to do it side-by-side. But if you are so inclined, you can order that now. So there you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather gradually becoming sunny today with a high around 70. Partly cloudy tonight, low in the mid-40s. A lot of local races and issues were decided on Election Day on Tuesday. Findlay City Schools was unsuccessful in passing a 1% earned income tax levy as voters defeated that levy by a vote of 52% against to 47% in favor. In the race for the 83rd District of the Ohio House of Representatives, Republican Ty Matthews was victorious against Democrat Sheila Caressel. In the race for Hancock County Common Pleas Court Judge, Phil Regal bested Alex Treese. Hancock County voters approved a replacement tax levy for Hancock County Job and Family Services.
This levy is almost entirely for placement of kids in foster care. The contracts we had to sign for placements in 2023. Those contracts from providers increased our placement cost more than $1 million.
That was JFS Director Randall Galbraith. For the first time in a long time, Hancock County will have a new sheriff as Mike Cortez was running uncontested after winning the GOP primary in March. Cortez will take over as sheriff from the retiring Michael Heldman, who has been sheriff since 1997 and with the sheriff's office since 1972. In Putnam County, voters approved renewing mental health and 911 system tax levies. Remember, all results are unofficial until certified by the Board of Elections. Get more election night results on our website. University of Findlay students, faculty, staff, and community members will come together today to donate canned foods and other non-perishable items for the 19th annual Helping Hands Food Drive. Throughout the day, volunteers will be collecting, inspecting, sorting, weighing, and packaging items for delivery. All the items will go to Christians Helping Other People in Need, Chopin Hall Food Pantry. See the full list of collection locations and get more information on the food drive and the story on our website. The Findlay Trojans robotics teams are heading to Cleveland for a big tournament this weekend. Get more information about Findlay Trojans robotics and the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
So our cover story this morning, Republican Representative-elect Ty Matthews. He is with us in the studio this morning. Talk about his successful campaign for the 83rd district seat in the Ohio House of Representatives. Congratulations.
Thank you, Chris. Good morning.
Good to have you with us here this morning. We were talking a little bit earlier. It was a bit of a late night, but I would imagine that you had a pretty good idea going in. You never want to count your chickens before they're hatched, necessarily. But given the political makeup of the 83rd district, it was probably not unexpected that you pulled off the win. But what, when you look back at the campaign, what's the biggest takeaway? What did you learn? I mean, this is the first time you've done this, so what's the big takeaway?
Yeah, and I think the biggest takeaway that I've got, and it's been, you know, from being out there and meeting the voter, not just, you know, the Republican voter, because mm-hmm. you're talking about, you know, the demographics of the community, very, very heavily Republican, but
right.
also, you know, the Democrat and that independent voter, and really hearing what their concerns were. And really, I think you kind of saw this nationwide, too. I think there's a little bit of a step back from party lines, and people were just kind of concerned of, you know, their own well-being, their family, you know, inflation, the how the economy is going. Mm-hmm. And that's my biggest takeaway from this past election was, you know, I really, and it's kind of encouraging in a way that I think party lines are a little bit fading away. Mm-hmm. And we're starting to look at what's the best path forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're a native of Hancock County, Southern Hancock County, Arlington area. The 83rd District encompasses more than just Hancock mm-hmm. County. What did you learn about the other parts of the 83rd District, the Hardin County voters, Northern Logan County area? What do you take away from your discussions with those individuals that you will now be representing?
Yeah, each county has its own problem set, right? That's I find very interesting, and there's different ways of tackling those problems in each county, mm-hmm. Demographic wise. But one of the unifying factors, kind of going back to what I just said, I saw in, you know, Logan, you know, Hardin and Hancock County, it seemed like most people's major concerns were shared throughout those three counties. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, going back to the economy seemed to be number one on people's minds.
Yeah. Yeah. We are in an interesting point economically. We were talking about that. Obviously, there's only a limited amount of things that you can do at the state level with respect to the national economy. What would you focus on in addressing those concerns that you heard from voters at the state level?
Yeah, so looking at specifically our district, you know, the 83rd District, Logan, Hardin, and Hancock counties, looking at how we attract jobs here. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's really one of the things we can do as mm-hmm. state elected officials and partnered with the communities. How do we make our, you know, how do we sell our counties to these companies, right? Mm-hmm. And during the debate, I kind of mentioned my defense initiative that I'm starting to now release. And that's the hope that we not just attract new jobs, but a whole new industry to this region. And I've been in talks with multiple different companies, international companies too, that I'm very encouraged at the likely possibility that in each three of these counties, we're going to be able to do something along the lines of attracting, whether it's a manufacturer, research facility. Very excited. More to come on that. I don't want to speak too soon.
You know, right.
We just got over the election.
Right.
But very, very encouraged on what we're already working on.
And that kind of leads to the question of what happens next. I mean, a lot of work to do now to get you up and running before, you know, you take the oath and actually become a member of the Ohio House of Representatives come January. A lot has to be done. A lot of work needs to be done so that you are up and running beginning day one.
Yes, and my priority going forward is still meeting with community members. You know, I'm elected to represent the 83rd District, so it is my job for the next couple months to really get to know those issues before I even take office, right? I need to prepare mm-hmm. myself. So if you are listening and you do have any concerns, if you're an organization, an individual,
throw that out there.
Right, yeah. Feel free to shoot me an email. On my website, there is a message board there that you could send me an email on, and more than willing to meet, hear the issues. Like I said, that's my duty as your representative to get to know the issues that are concerning to you before I take my oath.
And then obviously just learning how the Ohio legislature works, because you are new to the process of not held office before, certainly at the state level. And that's something that every new legislator has to learn. I'm curious, how much of that have you been doing even already? Again, not anticipating, right. You know, not figuring that you're going to win before it actually happens, but knowing, you know, the likelihood of that. What has that process been like? Have you talked with leadership? Have you spoken with Mr. Cross?
I have.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, I've talked to other state reps across the state of Ohio, but to be, you know, very honest with you, Representative Cross has been very helpful, very willing to reach. He's, you know, reached out. We've talked multiple times, still willing to help on whatever transition we need. And I do look forward to continuing to work with John and working out that transition plan. So it's been great, and he's been extremely helpful. Other state reps, leadership have been helpful, and you know, maybe other chambers. But I've been very blessed to have a lot of people come behind me and really help me out on that.
Has it hit you yet? I mean, has it really hit you that, you know, here in just a couple of months, you'll be taking the oath and be a member of the Ohio House of Representatives?
Right. I was saying that last night when we were at the watch party at the Hancock Hotel with the Republican Party, that it just seems so surreal. Not just my race, but the election's finally here. You know, all the ads are going to stop. We can watch football on, you know, Sunday, well, Saturdays too, and not have those commercials. But yeah, it is very surreal. You know, I went to work yesterday just like a normal day. I'm heading to Northwestern right after this and, you know, trying to live as much of a normal life as possible. But,
right.
You know, I don't know. And I hope it really never does hit me. Yeah. I don't know if that makes, you know, sense or not, but I hope the honor of holding that office never just becomes mundane.
Any nervousness setting in? It is sort of like the dog that actually caught the car.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it's nervousness, anxiousness, or, you know, what it is. I'm just very excited to start working on policy. You know, there's a lot of ideas that I want to present. I want to hear from the people. I'm really excited to work on policy. So it's more of anxiousness to start.
Yeah. Again, State Representative-elect Ty Matthews is with us this morning, reflecting on his successful campaign in capturing the 83rd district seat in the Ohio House of Representatives. I'm sure that you won't be a stranger. We'll be talking to you many times over the coming years. But again, congratulations on your victory. Thanks very much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Chris. I really appreciate it.
So most of the election results yesterday locally mirrored the results the statewide and national level, so not a whole lot of disappointed folks this morning. But one group that is disappointed by the outcome of the election, the proponents of the Findlay City Schools income tax levy, which went down to defeat locally. Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton is with us this morning, and I know that you're disappointed by the results of the vote yesterday, but are you really surprised? Because this is not uncommon for school issues in Ohio to not be successful in their first go-around. It seems to be that's the way things usually go.
Yeah, we definitely had high hopes, and I'm very proud of the fact that we were out there sharing the facts with our community. And, you know, I think that we had a good story to tell here in Findlay City Schools in terms of the transparency that the Board of Education has had with the way we spend the public dollar. And yeah, like you said, it was just a little disappointing, but the voters have spoken and we respect that.
So it brings up the question, because like we said, it's not uncommon for school measures to be unsuccessful in their first go around. A lot of times it becomes something of a negotiation where you analyze the results, you go back with another proposal and you know, ask the voters again, and so on and so forth. It kind of becomes a back and forth. Is there a plan to take a look at this and put it before the voters again?
Well, yeah, today, you know, in the first day after the election, and I'm, like I said, I'm really glad that everybody exercised their right to vote. Today, we're going to stay focused on our staff and our kids, and the same tomorrow and the next day and the next day, because we want to keep our eye on what we are here to do, which is serve our children. Obviously today the treasurer, Pam Harrington, and I will be regrouping, and we will be speaking individually with our board members. And yes, it is about figuring out one step at a time the next steps that we need to take to make sure that we stay viable financially and continue to maintain the excellence that we have in Findlay City Schools.
What will that look like? It was reported heading into this that if the levy vote was unsuccessful, that there would be a near immediate result with cuts and measures to reduce operating costs. What will that look like moving forward?
Well, in the short term, it's going to look like conversations and reflection, like you said, and we want to listen and learn from our community, and we will work with our Board of Education on what those short-term steps are going to be. No decisions have been made, and we've been very clear about that with our staff and our community. But back in September, the board did take a careful look at decisions that would have to be made and adjustments that would have to be made to our budget. And so we will be, you know, taking a look at that, and we will have to look at some financial cuts that we would, Pam and I would recommend to the board. And then it'll be up to the board as to when they enact those.
What kind of timeline will that, will those recommendations come at the next board meeting, or how soon would it be necessary to begin implementing some of these cuts?
Yeah, like I said, we're going to have to look at the short-term cuts this week and next week, and I'm sure that the Board of Education will be talking about that at their November and December meetings. However, the longer-term cuts that were considered back in September, some of those might not take effect until the 2025 school year. Mm-hmm. But obviously, we would owe it to our staff and our community to be communicating that out probably sometime right after the first of the year.
What would be the it's been reported that the district is already deficit spending, and that was one of the big points that you emphasized to voters in pitching this income tax levy. At what point does it get to, when do you get to the critical point with respect to that, or are you already there?
Well, no, we're not at the critical point yet. That's why the Board of Education decided to be on the ballot yesterday to try and stay a step ahead of that. That's why when it starts to get critical is in that 25-26 school year, the next school year, and then the two subsequent school years after that. And so that's why the first round of potential or likely cuts, financial adjustments that might need to be taken up by the Board of Education would be right around $5 million starting next year.
So from what I hear you saying, there's not necessarily a decision made on whether to go back to the voters and make this request again, maybe a modified request in some way, shape, or form. But you did reference, analyzing the lessons and the feedback that you got from the community in making this plea. What are those messages? What do you take away from this just in the immediate aftermath?
Well, that's what we, I think, need to regroup on this week. And like I said, I think I don't want to speak for the Board of Education, but I think we're all interested in hearing from our community. I believe the difference between for and against was around 790 votes. Mm-hmm. And so we want to, which quite frankly is much closer than November of 2020, but we want to find out, what can we adjust? What do we need to reflect upon? And then it will be up to the Board of Education to decide if they will want to be on the ballot again next spring or next fall. But the fact is, like you said, we are looking at a looming deficit, and we've got to figure out how we can forge forward to serve our children.
We will leave it there for now. Again, Findlay City School Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton this morning with reaction to yesterday's unsuccessful vote in the district's income tax measure and what happens next. It is a story, obviously, that we will continue to follow as it plays itself out. Dr. Hatton, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Of course, Chris. Thanks again for having me on.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Now, this is exactly what we need to kind of decompress after everything that transpired yesterday, right? This is what we need to kind of give ourselves a break from all of the election news and all of the, political hand-wringing and all of that. The odd and unusual side of the headlines from the International File. Scotland Yard is on the case. trying to iron out the mystery of who filled an iron at one of London's biggest police stations with urine. You know, there's a steam iron, and so you're supposed to put water in the steam iron. Well, that's not what they put in the urine. The there are possible charges pending against the culprit when they find out who it might be. One count of criminal damage could be pending over the prank, which left officers' uniforms stained with pee. And also a charge of damaging an unspecified piece of police equipment. I would imagine they're talking about the iron, because you can't use it now. You got to replace the iron. Slasher of the yard needs to be caught as soon as possible, according to a statement from Scotland Yard. It will be a great relief to everyone. Well, maybe relief is not the word they wanted to use. Actually, that's kind of a clever prank if you really think about it. I mean, not to encourage criminal behavior, but as pranks go, you know, nobody got hurt. Anything? It's a little embarrassing. But I hope they catch the culprit, that scoundrel. Scotland Yard on the case. Elsewhere in the broken news, our viral video moment of the day is the owners of a farm in Colorado who apparently have learned their lesson and now henceforth will lock up their garage after their pet pig found their stash of beer and decided to have a party. 33-year-old Morgan Mullins recently posted a video online that has gone viral showing her 7-year-old pet pig, Strawberry, acting drunk. The clip shows dozens of beer cans scattered all over the floor, which is, you know, covered in beer. The camera then pans over to Strawberry, who is seen staggering around the garage. One commenter described the pig as hammered. Completely hammered. No need to worry about Strawberry, Ms. Mullins tells reporters. She seemed fit as a fiddle the next morning, and we all got a big laugh out of it. She was maybe a little hungover. I'm getting hammered. All right. Speaking of viral videos, this has gone viral, and I don't know all of the details of the story, like where this happened exactly, but a vigilante apparently used So here's the deal. Stephen Phelps posted footage of this incident to Facebook. And apparently some guy had a beef with a neighbor or someone who cut him off in traffic. I don't know. Anyway, he had a beef with someone. So he did what any reasonable person would do. This vigilante apparently used a rented green Cybertruck to ram the guy into a tree. Apparently he had stolen something. You know, he was a thief. The justice seeker reportedly used a rented Cybertruck. He rented the vehicle for $800 over the weekend and then used it to force an accused porch pirate off the road. Video shows the futuristic truck accelerating to catch a person running with a package in their hands. The alleged porch pirate tries to get away in a black sedan, but the Cybertruck forces the getaway vehicle into a tree. I'm guessing he's not getting his rental deposit back. The person who posted the video said hopefully that all works out, but down to one car for a little while, I guess. rented a Cybertruck to catch a porch pirate. Ran him into a tree. All right. Let's see. Video has gone viral. You can look it up online and check it out for yourself. Couple of other items in the broken news here this morning. You talk about first world problems. A couple in Vancouver is suing their now former nanny for quitting without notice. David Aaron and Gloria Garofalo's lawsuit seeks damages for impacting their ability to earn an income because she quit so they can't go to work and earn income. So now they're suing the nanny. They're also seeking punitive damages because she didn't even say goodbye to the children. Lawsuit. Apparently, Royzen Murphy agreed to work through the end of the year, but quit abruptly after taking a sick day. Ms. Garofalo and Mr. Aaron, the parents say Ms. Murphy displayed blatant disregard for the emotional interests of the children. Ms. Murphy has yet to comment on the situation. Lawsuit. Those are first world problems right there. Those are first world problems. Story about a man in Fredericksburg, Virginia, who is arrested for trying to break into a coffee house. An officer of the Fredericksburg Police Department, Officer Funes, said he arrived at the scene early in the morning earlier this week and found a man wearing a trash bag attempting to enter the local espresso establishment. When questioned, the suspect said he intended to make himself coffee. He just wanted a cup of Joe. just wanted a coffee. The man is being charged with breaking and entering. No word on whether he actually got his coffee. No, I'm not going to rob the place. I just want some coffee. Yeah. Oh, hey, the craving hits. And finally, in the broken news this morning, somebody made a big oops in the Clark County Jail in Washington State when they mistakenly released an inmate. Now, Maurice Haynes had completed his sentence for theft. And so he completed his sentence. He was released. What they didn't know until too late is that he was supposed to remain in custody on a warrant from neighboring Oregon, where he was sentenced to 15 months for criminal mischief. So he served his sentence in Washington. He was supposed to be transported to Oregon to serve his sentence there, but he was instead released. He is described as 6'1", 170 pounds, with a tattoo on his right forearm that reads Marishka. Clark County Jail Services is conducting an investigation to determine how the release occurred. Who made that mistake? How would you like to be the person who made that oops? Oops. Not a good thing. Oopsies. There you go. That is today's broken news, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
The Findlay Rotary Club, a place to connect locally, regionally, to around the world.
I'm Jody Turnwald from the Findlay Hearing Center. I joined Findlay Rotary because it provides me with an opportunity to give back to the community and connect with other local business owners.
Join Jody and so many others who have found becoming a member of the Findlay Rotary Club an experience that truly lives the Rotary motto, service above self. To learn more, go to findlayrotary.org and click on Join.
This message provided by WFIN.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. So election night last night, did you stay up late and wait for the results to come in? Or did you just turn in early? In a new YouGov survey of nearly 5,000 adults, 4,837 adults in this survey, they asked, compared to other Tuesday evenings, would you say that on the evening of election day in a presidential election, you are most likely to go to bed later than usual, go to bed about your usual time, or go to bed earlier than usual? 47% actually said that they hit the sack about the same time as they do any other Tuesday night. They do not stay up late. 4% actually said that they go to sleep earlier than usual. That was my wife last night. She was like, I don't care. I've done my part. The results are going to be what they are, regardless of whether I stay up late and watch it, so I'm not even going to pay attention. That was my wife last night. 37% will actually stay up and watch the results later than their usual bedtime. The follow-up question I thought was kind of interesting. They asked, compared to other Tuesday evenings, would you say that on the evening of election day in a presidential election year, you are more likely to drink alcohol, less likely to drink alcohol, or about as likely as any other evening to drink alcohol? The biggest response was actually 35% who said, I never drink alcohol. Who are these people? Who are these people? I never drink alcohol, 35%. But 22% say they are about they would be about as likely to drink alcohol. 17% say they were less likely. Only 12% were more likely to drink alcohol. I have to think that in an election like this, that 35% who say I never drink alcohol probably would go down. I would have to say that a fair number of those people who say I never drink might actually creep into that more likely to drink category. You know what I mean? By the way, they also asked, if Marge Simpson were to vote in the 2024 presidential election, which candidate do you think she would vote for? 58% said Marge would probably vote for Kamala Harris. However, 44% said that Homer would be more likely to vote for Donald Trump. I think that's probably pretty accurate there. All right, enough election talk for a little bit here. We'll set this aside. We're going to talk about the upcoming holiday season and what is new in history, so to speak. At the Hancock Historical Museum, Director Sarah Fultz is with us this morning. Sarah, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You are not among those who stayed up late to wait for the election result.
I did not. And to be honest with you, time change has messed with me so much. I was in bed by 9 p.m. last night, and that is very early for
so
me.
So early. So you were among those in that category we were talking about the survey earlier, actually go to bed earlier than normal on election night. Yep. So, okay. All right. Wrapping up a very busy fall. What a terrific, all the things that are going,
oh my gosh,
from Oktoberfest to all of the haunted stuff for Halloween. It was a busy fall for
it
you.
Has been an incredibly busy fall, but incredibly fulfilling. I cannot believe we're wrapping up the year already, yeah, but it has been a wonderful year.
So November actually is a bit slow. You've got the brown bag lunch lecture tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is kind of a Halloween postscript of sorts.
A little bit, and this is super exciting. We are featuring tomorrow at noon, the next stop, the Twilight Zone. And this is our friend Charles Coletta from Bowling Green State University. He works in the Department of Popular Culture at Bowling Green State University, and he is so cool, and he's going to provide this lecture, and he's really exploring the life and work of Rod Sterling.
Okay.
And I think it's going to be really exciting, and if you don't know Rod Sterling, after he served in the Army, he went to college in Yellow Springs, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to dig a little bit more into his life. And
I'm not sure how many people know the Ohio connection there
right,
with that, so that'll be an awful lot of fun.
Yeah, and we're excited for it. And we only have one more brown bag lecture this year after that.
Yeah. So, and the Twilight Zone, obviously, kind of iconic pop culture.
Yes.
Everybody is familiar with the Twilight Zone. So kind of a post-Halloween thing or post-election thing, depending on how you want to look at it.
Either way could
apply to that. And that is tomorrow at noon, right?
Yes. Yep. It is free for members of the museum to attend. It's regular admission for non-members. Bring a lunch. Starts at noon. It very rarely goes over an hour. So just a way to get out of the office and enjoy some history.
Yeah. And then we'll look ahead a little bit because, like we said, not a whole lot going on other than that in the month of November in terms of special events. Obviously, the museum is open. Time is running short to check out the museum and all of the exhibits for this year because you're going to be closing at the end of the year for month. Don't panic, people. You're always closed in January.
Yes, we do close for the month of January. It's a just great slow time to be able to clean things up, move some things around, getting new carpet installed in the exhibit center.
Oh,
that's
exciting.
We need the time to
do
all
that.
So
this is your last chance to check out the old carpet. So,
right. out of all the things.
I know also, and again, we're kind of jumping ahead a little bit, and maybe we'll talk about this a little bit more next month, and certainly when we come back in the new year. But a lot of times we're looking at new exhibits, new things to show. Have you given some thought? Are you making plans for what is new, what will be new in 2025?
Yes. I don't want to speak too soon, but the team has been working incredibly hard on especially two new exhibits we're really excited about for maybe first time here, sneak peek. Arlington Heart and Soul is starting to wrap up.
Okay.
And that is something that we are looking forward to collaborating on and doing a really cool feature of one of our villages. And then we are in early discussions on a collaboration, hopefully with Millstream students to do a collaborative exhibit where we'll have Millstream students help us build and construct an exhibit. So we can't wait to release more information on that. That will be in 2025.
Okay. We'll definitely look forward to that and learning more about that, because there are so many things in the collection, you can't possibly display them all at the same time.
Right, right. And if you've ever had the chance to see kind of behind the scenes, I mean, we have over 100,000 pieces between our archives and collections. So yes, there's no way to be able to put it all out. Otherwise, it would look like you're walking through a hoarder's home, right?
Yeah, which is kind of what it is, but in a good way. So that's why we always say, if you haven't been in a while, it's always worth a visit. Don't just go once and never go again, because you'll miss something because things are constantly changing.
So. Right. And if you haven't seen it before, or you want to come check it out again, our 1950s exhibit, that is one of the exhibits that's upstairs in our historic hall house that is coming to the end of its exhibit. So it's definitely a good time. Come check us out. Our museum is open Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. and Sundays from 1 to 4 p.m.
Okay,
so up through the end of the year, keep an eye out on our website and our Facebook page for our holiday hours, but definitely make a chance to come in and see that before the end of the year.
So let's mention real quickly some of the things that are coming up as we head toward the holiday season, because it's going to get busy. And again, we're going to talk more about this here next month, but I know things get busy and people start setting their schedules early. You've got a Christmas open house coming up mid-December.
Yes, we are, as soon as this brown bag lecture tomorrow, and we are jumping right into the holidays. So December 5th, the first Thursday of December, I should say, is the final brown bag lecture.
Mm-hmm.
And we are featuring Holiday Magic, a journey through the history of Hallmark Christmas movies. And our curator and archivist, Joy Bennett, she's going to be presenting that.
That'll be fun.
Amazing. She is our film guru on the team as well. So that's going to be awesome. And then that jumps right into the Christmas open house that you mentioned, December 14th. It's a Saturday, 5 to 8 p.m. Great Christmas activity. Bring the whole family. Our campus will be decorated for the holidays. Father Christmas will be there for photos. There'll be live music and activities for the whole family. And then we wrap up the year with our final classic movie night, which will be the 1954 White Christmas on December 20th.
What a classic.
Yes.
And that is definitely the name, the classic movie night.
Yes.
That's a classic.
We want all the warm, fuzzy holiday feels.
You're going to be serving hot chocolate and everything with that?
You know, I will put a good word in. Okay. I know some people.
There we go. So lots of things going on as we head into the final few weeks of the year at the Hancock Historical Museum. And we'll also mention memberships. Actually, you can give a membership as a gift.
Yes, and it is a perfect
gift. So if you know someone that is into history.
Yes, and it comes with so many extra perks too. A lot of people don't realize our membership now also comes with reciprocal benefits to other institutions too. So even giving a family member or even buying a family membership can get them also perks, even free admission to institutions all over the country.
Yeah. So you can get more details, just stop by the museum for more info on that. Again, Sarah Fultz, Hancock Historical Museum Director, with us talking about things that are going on at the museum through the end of the year. Again, the Brown Bag Lunch Lecture tomorrow, highlighting the Twilight Zone, Rod Serling. Great stuff. We've got a link on our webpage for more information. Go to goodmornings.net. Sarah, thanks very much.
Thank you so much.
And with that, we put the wraps on another podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program, of course. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. Go to goodmornings.net, where you can also connect with us on social media, sign up for our daily email newsletter. There's a link there to email us with anything you want to share that way. Again, goodmornings.net. Our little corner of the World Wide Web. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.